So first things first, Clementine, how are you?
I'm good. Super excited for their comeback of Exit Eden and everyone's feedback about it. Super happy with big announcements we've made with Visions of Atlantis for the tours that are coming in 2024. It's going to be a massive year again, and yeah, so happy also to approach Christmas time and trying to have some days off if we can.
You deserve it.
Thank you.
Let's start with the beginning, because when Exit Eden started, was there ever a thought that it would be a multi project? Did you ever think further than the first album, basically?
Oh, I think from the start there was a will to establish the project in the long term. I think it was never thought as a one shot, like just let's just make one record and so on. And the truth that supports this is that right after Rhapsodies in Black was out, we started to work on new songs. So even though it took so long to have a second record out, the intention of having it was there already back then.
What is the what makes it special then, this band, opposed to other projects you've done, opposed to well, obviously Vision of Atlantis is very important to you, but what does it make what makes it special, this project?
Well, first of all, that is not a band per se. So the people I talk to the most regarding anything that concerns us, which is like recording songs and making videos and all, is my two colleagues and sisters, Marina and Anna. It's not like I can talk to the guys and be like, okay, let's rehearse or let's plan the set list or let's prepare our outfits for the new, like outfits we still handle ourselves, but the main difference is that yeah, Exit Eden is a project that is owned by Napalm Record. It's not a band per se. It makes it very different in how it's handled. Also, we have less to care about because there are a lot of things and on the business side that is not our business per se.
Sure.
So we can focus on the artistic, and that is also really cool because I want to be an artist. I don't want to be on like I like the business side of things. It's just sometimes it feels limiting. So if I could choose, I'd rather be an artist and have other people take care of the numbers.
Let's delve into that then, because I believe you started your creative career in a sense as a dancer. That was your first love. How did music kind of take over dancing, and how did that become your I believe you well, this is in reference to something else, but you called it your happy place. How did music
Well,
become that thing for you?
to be very honest, when I started dancing, it was already on music.
Okay.
It's like when you dance, you can dance without music, of course, but when you dance, your body ex general most of the time goes into a rhythm, and rhythm is music. So music, movement, singing, notes, melodies, it's all one thing for me. That's why
Okay.
I love and I have this pretty big theatrical way of approaching the stage because I live the music. So as I was young, it started with my body responding to music, and then very young on, I started to sing also. So the music was always there. It's just the way I approached it. Like I used to express myself a lot with my piano when I was younger, and then singing took over, and now that I play live, it's a complete different approach to music, to share it with people, to be on a stage and to impersonate the music, the song, the characters, the stories that we're saying. So I think my entire happy place is all of this combined. It's living, it's the movement and life that there is as just the creation of the creation that comes with that movement and that pulse, I think.
And as you say, it's then I can imagine it's very liberating that the more businessy things are pushed to the side and you can focus completely on those things. So let's get
Yeah.
it. Well, one more question before we really get into it. When Amanda left. Was that a surprise or no?
Yes and no, because it happened years ago that she told us that,
Okay.
first of all, she was pregnant, and then that it ended up being twins. I think there was a lot of surprise on her side as well, positively, but because she never, like, she it's not like she planned to lift the band, and we were already taught, like, as I said, working on new songs, and she was completely part of that. But I think at some point, it took so long to get a new deal with Napalm Records, to get new people in charge, to get a new way to have this come to the surface, that at some point, even between us, the four of us, were like, we had no idea if this would ever exist or go on. And that indecision floating period of time, like, we were all like, so the fact that she said, listen, I can't be around it or not be, like, I have to choose if I go on fully or if I drop it. When she knew she was gonna have twins, she was like, I can't do things halfway,
Sure.
and I already have a daughter. So she, yeah. So we kind of saw it coming because of our conversation we always had and how her life evolved. We still try to keep her in because it was our DNA to be the four of
Sure.
us, and we love our sound, the four of us, and her personality that is so amazing. So we tried. We gave her a hard time leaving, but we also respected her choice,
Did
of
that
course.
change? Sorry, did that change anything for the three of you in terms of how you approached this second album?
Of course, because you have to imagine there's one instrument less.
Sure.
Every voice in this project is an instrument, because it is. So it in a way gave more space for the three of us, obviously. And then it changed the sound, because that was also a will, also because of, like, that goes also in coherence with the choice of songs and all. We didn't want to do Rhapsodies in Black 2. We wanted to do something more mature, less clickbaiting with, like, just covering the latest new pop thing,
Sure.
turning into metal, because YouTube has exploded in the
Mm-hmm.
meantime. And now any YouTuber that has a bit of video skills and a good musical ear and a home studio can make bombastic covers of anything. So we didn't want to compete with those. We still wanted to have, like, our own style, and knowing that the big soprano, mezzo soprano voice from Amanda would be gone, we didn't, first of all, we didn't want to replace her. And then we were like, okay, we don't want to fake that sound. I mean, Marina and I combined, we already did that on Rhapsodies in Black. People were like, oh my God, I miss Amanda's voice. But a lot of time, Marina and I were combining voices behind to pile and make that epic big sound. So, we still could have had that sound of the classic voice, but we also decided, together with our producer and the record label, to move away from it and to deliver a sound that is more mature, more personal, also less traditional symphonic metal with classic vocals from females. You
Sure.
know, Exit Eden is about, like, even the name of it, it's about stepping out of the cliches of what symphonic metal should be about when it involves women. And so yeah, it gave us more room and gave us the possibility to change our sound and make it more mature, let's say.
It's interesting that you said it because I wrote down something. I think it was from a Facebook post, but it might have been Instagram as well, which kind of echoes this sentiment. And I think it's something you wrote, but I'm not 100% sure. But women possess immense power if they dare to listen to the whispers in their core, to the rhythm of their true heart. So this is what you're saying, right? The authenticity, to rely on your own authenticity rather than.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To be yourself. Like women have been denied, like, back in the 50s, denied the right to
Sure.
vote, to have an opinion, to knowledge, to education, to And then now, yeah, we have voting rights, we have knowledge, education, and all, but we're still denied credibility. We're still denied artistic, like art, you know, like men can be artists, but a woman, an artist, like what? No, you should get a real job, you know, or oh, you're an artist, then you have to be half naked and whatever you do, you know, or you're an artist, oh yeah, but you have to look the best and you have to not age. And you, no, fuck all this.
Sure.
No, women can be artists as much as men. And absolutely, we hope that our move with that record, by calling in Fab Fatale, by embracing the dark feminine, would empower and influence and inspire others to follow the path and to feel that they could have this own confidence in some inside themselves as well. That's our deepest desire with X-In.
And I think, well, one of the good things in my job in the last 6 months or so, I've spoken to so many more women who make either metal music or rock music,
Yeah.
and it seems to be a little bit more alive. Is that fair to say? Or obviously, we're not nearly where we should be, but do you see a progression?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like nowadays, females that even grows, they're it's not just arch enemy and it's an ovni, you know. Then they had that ginger came in, and then you have this new wave of all these females singers that show their skills and demonstrate that they can, if they wanna, also deliver expressions and colors as diverse as men can. And some people might not like girls done by a girl because they might think it's too thin, or you can still hear it's a girl, and it's not, it's still like, it's to showcase the immense capabilities, the same capabilities we have. Like a singer has the same capabilities, whether it's a man or a woman. It's just different. The way you exploit the vocals, the range, it's just different. And nowadays, I have the feeling more and more women want to do this, want to be there, and they're trusted that they can do it. So men are no longer like, oh no, I'm not gonna have a female singer, it's gay or whatever, because it's exactly the response that I got back in the days when I tried in Lyon for 5 years to found this band, melodic band, with me on singing, and I was not even going for the cliche of symphonic metal. I didn't want to do another Nightwish. I was into progressive metal, and I wanted to do something with my own voice. But and I was met with that limitation. I know with the girl it's gonna be gay. That was the picture. So of course we're not there yet, but I don't even know. I'm just gonna make a short thing about that. I don't even know if there is anywhere we should be at. I don't know if metal should be 50-50, because in the end, if women, like if you look at the audience, it's 80% male most of the
is.
times, you know? And that's because either girls don't have access to a kind of metal that they like, no one introduces them to bands they could appreciate, or there is no interest from women to that genre, and this is okay as well. Like there are things that men are more prone for, and there are things that women are more prone for, and this exists, and it's not, to me it's not sexist, it's just the reality. And that's okay, you know. I don't want to force women to be there just to prove they can. They have to feel it authentically, as you said.
No, that I think that makes a lot of sense. And I have one last question about this. You mentioned you encountered a lot of this in Lyon when you were there. What kept the passion alive for you? Or what gave you the I can't, I'm blanking on the word, the determination to keep going in a
My
sense.
love for music, my desire to express myself with music in that register. When I discovered melodic metal, it resonated so much with who I was back then. I was like, this is what I want to do. And I told, well, after 5 years of struggling and all, and I couldn't write the music I wanted on my own. I wanted to write with a guitar player. Was not playing guitar myself. Didn't feel attracted by playing guitar myself. And I didn't work. I was just like, I made a wish to the universe. I was like, okay, this is not the way. It's not flowing. So you're gonna join a band, established band that needs a new female singer. So that, you know, I changed my perspective, my approach, And 2 weeks later, Wisdom from Paris dropped the announcement that they were looking for a new singer. And back then, Wisdom was the biggest symphonic metal band in France. And I was like, okay, that's the sign.
The universe
But
aligned.
exactly. And I applied and I got in. And then, it's a story everybody knows. Like, I got into Serenity, and then I got into Visions of Dennis, and then I got into Eden. So, but as you said, like, at some point I felt discouraged to try to found my own band, because where I was, I felt very limited. And of course, there are places where there are more musicians for that scenes, for that scene, or places where it's easier to find people that you could be on the right, on the same page with. So I thought, okay, maybe Lyon's not the place, but I couldn't change back then. So yeah, I was like, okay, I don't lose my determination. I just change goal.
And what I find really cool then, and maybe this is too far of a leap, but if we listen to Femme Fatale, there are a lot of references to kind of finding your path and not giving up hope, and kind of at least in a couple of songs. So it's nice that that sentiment is echoed on the album as well.
Yeah, Anna wrote all the lyrics, and she's an amazing lyricist, and she has the same passion. Like, she's been driven to found her own band for so long. Like, I remember when we met, she was desperate about having her own thing, and I'm so happy that she managed to get League of Distortion together, and where she can do her own music and unleash her talent and her universe and all, and it's amazing. I really like what she's doing there. And the genuine power and strength and just passion that she's putting into it. And I think this is, as you said, this idea of like going further and finding who you are and finding your path in whatever direction it is that resonates with her path, my path, Marina's, who changed continent to pursue her dream. So we kind of, all of this can't, we all find ourselves into those lyrics.
And then obviously there are also a couple of covers on there. Is it too, I don't know, Désenchanté, is that a song that you kind of offered to
Not even,
the band,
not
or okay.
even. Like I was amazed when this suggestion came out, because, well, for true, like I know the original version of Désenchanté from the French artist, from Mylène Farmer. That's a song from the 90s. I used to listen to Mylène Farmer so much when I was a teenager. Like, she's our French Madonna. She has this gothic, melancholic universe that I was digging so much in the past. But this song was covered in a pop version, in a more electronic version, and I always miss her name, and I'm sorry about that.
Is it Alize or no?
No, it's a German artist,
Oh, okay.
I think,
So I
or
think.
not even. But that cover got big in Germany for like at least. So that's why, and I will say maybe like Europe in general. That's why our record label knew that song, because otherwise, if it would stick to the would stick to the French speaking countries. But that song got covered on an international basis, and that's why our record label knew it. This was one of the first songs that our record label wanted covered,
Okay.
because they love it, and also because we also influenced on that side, is that like the three of us in the band were from different nationalities, and there was already a little bit of French on Rhapsodies in Black, on Fade to Gray, and they, I think, really liked the idea of showcasing a little bit of that uniqueness into the new record. So having a song in French that people could know on a more international basis was also important for the record label. So when they said, "Oh, we're gonna do Désenchanté," I was like, "Are you what?" I was super excited.
Do you like singing in French?
So to be very, very honest, this was the very first time in my life I ever was recorded singing in French.
Okay.
It was the first time I was approaching a song on a professional level in French, and that gave me quite a hard time, because You don't pronounce French the way you pronounce English.
Sure.
So it sits differently in your mouth, in the way you position everything, the way it sounds also with the resonances. Like I find English to be a very resonating language. I find French not so much.
Okay.
So for me, at the very beginning, it felt very unnatural, and I had to forget about judgment and sound and all, and just be like, just feel the song. You know, the words mean more to me because they're French and it's my mother tongue. So there is a they carry a lot of meaning compared to English, even if English is a place I know more better and better. It's like French is still my blood, you know, and flesh.
Sure.
And I think there are some pronunciation things there that I did double question myself, like is it French enough what I'm saying right now? Or is that already too open or too like, but it was so hard for me to tell. And but in the end, I really enjoyed it because I loved the song and what it meant to me. And I hope that the original artist would see this as a tribute. There will be a video for it, and it's a pretty bold move that we make for the visual and the visual universe of that song. And I just hope that she understands this is a truth.
I've one last question or one song I'd like to. Well, I can also let you pick the song. Maybe that's because Separate Ways is one of my favorite songs to listen to when I'm in the gym. So I still listen to it almost on a.
Awesome.
It's that 80s kind of almost Rocky soundtrack
Yeah,
vibe. But
absolutely.
for you personally, then, from either the covers or the original songs, is there one that really stay aside from Désenchanté, because we talked about that one, but is there one that really resonates with you?
Oh, there's a song I really like. It's the Dying in My Dreams.
Okay.
This was partly written by Marina, and I really like that song. It has this melancholy vibe that I really like. I also love the title track, Femme Fatale. It's so much fun. I can't wait for people to discover that one. It's going to be the next single. Otherwise, yeah, Poison is it's so huge to cover it. It's been covered 1,000 times, but I love our version of it. It got a real crazy dimension, I think, with all the vocals and the. I remember recording so, like, such high harmonies for it that you might not hear too much in the mix, but I know it's there, so that's why it's crazy. But yeah, and overall, I love how diverse yet coherent this album is, and I hope people would love it for what it is. Not comparing with Rhapsodies in Black too much, you know, that's what people do all the time. I understand that, but. Femme Fatale is strong enough to be on its own. It could be a first record of a new Exit Eden. You know, it would work totally fine.
Levantine, may I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me?
Of course. Thank you so much, Anson. Thank you very
Thank
much. I
you.
really appreciated your questions.